to you. Ooh. To you both.
And he came giftless as well. Not both. Because he was late too. It's me.
No, but
yeah, but
still.
He was here when I got here. But also the time it took me to find this room.
Hey, man.
Because first of all, you have to find the door to this building.
Yeah. Hey, man.
Which is crazy.
Which is very difficult. And I was on the other side looking at number 68 going, well, where's 64?
Are you from East London?
66? Yeah. So, but I'm from proper East London, not here.
Oh, is this not proper? No. I don't know this argument. I'm from West and South.
Surely true.
West and South?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like you're from West and you moved to South.
No, I'm from South and I moved to West.
So why did you say South last?
Because I was born in West.
So you are from West?
I don't even know what that meant.
Don't worry about it, man. We haven't got time for me. No, we've got time for you.
Right,
welcome
cool.
to...
I'm interested in...
Are you?
Yeah.
Hi, darling. How are you?
I haven't seen you since you gave me that award with my name spelled wrong on it.
Yeah.
Which one was this?
This is Retribution. I forgot. Damn it. You're late on purpose. It wasn't me. Blame me, Yare.
Cool.
Welcome to the circle. I'm AK. I'm a carpenter, first and foremost.
Lord. What? I'm a carpenter.
We'll get to you later.
We've got three carpenters here.
No, we haven't got three.
Well, two, really.
We've definitely got two.
Two,
but not
really.
Three. A carpenter, a philanthropist, a studio setter-upperer, producer, creator, founder, not co-founder of The Circle, founder.
Okay.
Wow.
And leader, also... A fashion designer, a singer, mm-hmm. a drummer.
She do this every time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And a mother. I'll stop there because people get jealous. Obviously, people are getting jealous.
Sure. Mother last?
Yes, mother last because it's the biggest.
Right.
Hi, guys. Leon here. Writer, producer. Run a production company called BW&G Limited. I am the actual carpenter in the room. I'm the actual philanthropist in the room.
What have you philanthroped recently?
I philanthroped... the youth them earlier.
You did, isn't it? Yeah, damn it, I can't even cuss you.
Yes, I was.
We're not talking about you anyway, it's not about you. Don't ask them questions, we ain't got time.
Did a workshop for the youth them. Father, I was script editor for season one of Dreaming Whilst Black. I work in a BBC drama commissioning team. I'm an editor, I'm a producer, I'm a director, I'm a designer.
You're not.
Musician.
None of these things.
I'm everything, even a musician.
You're not even.
Do you know how to play the violin?
I know how to play the violin.
Yeah?
I forgot to say I'm a violinist.
What do you mean you know how to play the violin? Like, everyone knows how to. You put the thing on the thing and then you move it. Everyone knows how to, but can you play it?
Let's introduce our guest who's been very rude. Who are you and what do you do?
My name's Darren. I'm single and I'm from Swaddling Coat. Kyle Smith Bino.
Hi.
Hi.
Is that it?
Yeah.
You don't do nothing.
I'll do some bits.
Listen.
No, because I don't like...
What do you do?
What do I do?
Yeah, because you don't know who's listening to this.
I have ideas mm-hmm. and then sometimes I make them.
Mm-hmm.
I act and I do silly voices.
Do you only act? Do you write?
Yeah.
And you kind of claimed that you're a carpenter for some reason.
Right, so...
You lied.
No.
You're a liar.
Hey, come on. I think that it's really I think that carpentry is incredible, right?
Mm.
But I think you don't get a lot of questions as a carpenter. If you tell someone you're a carpenter, someone that doesn't know what you do, and you tell someone that you're a carpenter, I don't feel like you get loads of questions, right? Now, as a man who enjoys a wedding, you'll see how these dots join.
Mm-hmm.
I have been to a lot of weddings. I go to a lot of weddings. If my friends are invited, I want to be there plus one. I want to be at the wedding. And what happens at weddings is that you get sat on tables with people that you don't know.
Mm.
And they ask you questions like, what do you do? Now, if you tell them you're an actor before you're on a BBC sitcom, for example, let's say 2017, they will say, anything that I've seen? And you'll read out your CV. And then they'll go, nah, don't really watch TV.
Yeah.
Now, if you say you're a carpenter, they go, oh, nice.
And leave you alone.
And that's the end of that.
So then you came into this interview.
Yes.
Thinking you're going to drop that you're a carpenter.
No, I didn't. I only said it because you said it.
Okay.
But I do. I have for years said that I'm a carpenter.
Okay.
To avoid
questions.
The embarrassment of someone of me reading out my CV and someone saying they've never heard of anything that I've said.
Why are you embarrassed of saying that you're an actor?
No, it's not about embarrassment. It's about the... Did I say embarrassed?
I don't know. I feel like you did.
It's about the... It's just a difficult feeling.
Okay.
That I haven't, it's been a while because, you know.
You get recognized, man knows what you do.
Face on the TV or not.
Yeah.
But before then, it was constantly like, and I think this is one of my, in an interview that I did ages ago, I said that one of the things that up-and-coming actors should do is always say that they are an actor rather than say that they're trying to be.
Yep.
And that is because you're telling yourself that you are, and whatever you're doing, whatever your part-time job is or whatever you're making money from, is a means to becoming more successful at acting. But you already are an actor. If you've made that decision and you go, I'm an actor, I feel that you should say it. And speak into existence, etc. But at the time when I was saying that, it was like you go through that whole thing of like, and it's just quite draining to just go, oh, it might have been this, it might have been that, and then no, I haven't seen any of that.
I hear that. I get that. I got that at Christmas. My mum was like, oh, she wants a British Blacklist, to my cousins that we reunited and met after many years. And I had to go through that. It's not that. And of course, British Blacklist is amazing. But
yeah,
in explaining it to family members and not wanting to come across like a big-headed dick for no reason.
Yeah.
Because why am I assuming that that's what they think? But then it's like, oh, no. And then my mum's like, oh, and she speaks to Viola Davis. And I'm like, no, mummy, it's not that. It's not that. Yeah. But in my head, I'm like, yeah, man. Viola. Yeah.
I called someone the British Blacklist the other day because their initials were TBB and I can't remember who it is.
Look at that. I'm a cultural reference. Story, I'm a cultural reference.
Well, you know what? Usually to make sure that we know you are who you say you are,
Right.
The Wikipedia page.
Okay.
And fountain figure of knowledge. Out like if it's the fountain of knowledge, it's 100% accurate, right. Wikipedia. Mm-hmm. Like it's the best way to find out about a person. And we usually ask you if these things are true. However, your Wikipedia page is straight to the point. It's career. A lot of people, a lot of them like trying to do, you know, backstory and growing up and stuff. This one's just like career.
What does it say under personal life? Anything?
It doesn't say anything.
It doesn't have one.
Nothing.
It literally just says.
I've got nothing going on in my personal life.
It literally just says your date of birth and what you are notable for. And then after that, it goes straight into career. So it's all career based.
You have no personal life. You don't actually have one.
Really? Wait, hang on. What about the. No, actually, you carry on. What were you going to say?
No. So.
So that's it.
So basically, that's it. So that's the end of the interview.
Oh my gosh.
We're done.
Well, thank you for having me, guys.
No problem at all.
Yeah. There was something on there recently that I was.
Did you get deleted?
I think so, yeah.
You got it deleted?
No, I didn't get it deleted. It must have been deleted.
Was it personal?
I think it was. Yeah, it was personal to me and maybe to you. let me find a screenshot of it. And
however, yes. Are you from Newham?
Yes, I am.
That's what I wanted to know.
Oh, yeah, go on. What am I up to?
Well, you're born in Newham.
Yeah.
You trained in the Joan Littwood improvisation style as part of the junior group at Theatre Royal Stratford East.
That is true. I did do that.
Did you enjoy it?
I loved it.
Well, how come you knew that you wanted to do that when you were that young?
Because I did a nativity play when I was 4 years old.
Mm-hmm. Were you Jesus?
That'd be boring. I'd just be a baby.
You know what I mean? You could have been an artistic baby. On the 25th of May, 2022, Smith Bino began his campaign to rename the Platinum Jubilee of Elizabeth II to Platy Jubes, citing that this change would modernise an institution that must appeal to a changing generation.
That was a big deal.
Well, it's been taken down, so it can't be that big of a deal. Unbelievable stuff,
Did you put that in?
No.
Right.
I wouldn't know how to, actually.
Yeah, it's a lot. I mean, I mistakenly tried to edit a Wikipedia page, and it's not easy.
Right.
Back to you and knowing that you were an artistic baby.
Yes. So I did a nativity play and I played the innkeeper. Mm-hmm. Innkeepers Unite. And I got a laugh, big laugh on my only line. My only line was around the back. And
that's innuendo. Possibly.
I mean,
or maybe
now that you've picked that up from from the story of our Lord and Savior. So that was my only line, and I screamed it at the top of my lungs, and the audience laughed, and I was like, I like that. I'll do that again. I kept saying the line. I said it maybe 10 times.
Maybe until you weren't funny.
Yeah, until it wasn't funny anymore. And then you keep doing it, and it becomes funny again. And that was like my first audience. Mm. That was my first response, like, and applause and all that, and I was like, I'll have that. I'll have some of that for the rest of my life. So everything I did was geared towards being an actor or performing. And when I was picking my summer school courses and things like that, I always wanted to perform. I always wanted to do drama or theatre. Or I think there was one summer I tried football and I was like, no.
get back on the stage.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm going to go straight to... I'm going to go to your IMDb, right? Mm. Because in terms of volume, I think your IMDb is only bettered by Samuel L. Jackson. I think...
Whoa.
That's yeah, like, big talk there.
In terms of how many projects you've been in, like... It's a lot of scrolling.
Are you saying I should have retired ages ago?
No, I'm saying, okay. No. This is great. It means I had to scroll for a long time.
Right.
I was reading a novel. And you've been in everything. Like, from early stages of, like, the black and brown digital projects that went into TV series, like Venus vs. Mars, mm-hmm. and a documentary, Diary of a Bad Man. Then reputational projects like Mood, Man Like Mobeen, Enterprise. Institutional shows like Death in Paradise. Animations.
Mm.
Hilda.
Yeah.
And then BAFTA royalty, obviously, Friday Night Dinner, Staffless Flats. What's your agent's number? I want in.
Imagine if I knew my agent's number off by heart.
Well, imagine though, because I feel like you should share it, because I think I'm ready because, as well.
I've had the same agent since 2016.
Wow. What's that relationship like? Because they're obviously doing a good job.
It's great.
Mm.
I was saying today that I am really lucky to have an agent that I can be 100% honest with.
Mm. Mm.
And the other day, she sent me something like an offer, and I responded with the tomato emoji, and she knew that means boo, boo. Someone asked me to host an award show for £500.
Wow, you're a big age.
Yeah. Exactly. Wow. But things like that, like I can be completely honest with her. We speak pretty much every day on WhatsApp.
Oh, nice.
And I can call her whenever, and she can call me whenever, and we can have a honest conversation about anything.
And that's definitely helpful because you're black.
Yes. And I feel like there's a lot, there's always a lot to talk about. Like, accepting a job isn't just accepting a job. There's also like, what does this mean?
Mm-hmm.
What does this show? And all of that stuff. And we can just have those open and honest conversations without having to like sugarcoat it.
Did you have to go through a few to find her? Is she black? And no. How did you get to that point of trust? Because I think definitely for up and coming actors and actresses, whatever, who are looking for that agent, I'm speaking specifically to black actors and actresses, who are looking for an agent that understands all of the stuff that comes of making a decision, like just playing a bin person isn't just playing a bin person for a black actor and actress. It's levels of connotations and stuff like that. Just playing a gangster isn't just playing a gangster. Yeah. But then also having that conversation with someone who's white who potentially wouldn't get it.
Mm.
What was that conversation? When did that conversation happen? Was it a role that came by and you're like, no, listen, this is why? Or did she just get it from the jump?
Mm. I think that just her as a person is... she thinks of everything. And... I mean, she's told me about her, what careers she was doing before she was an agent. And all of those jobs have included being around diverse people. I mean, she's not from a background of a place where there's a lot of diversity. She's from, like, Cheltenham.
Okay.
But she understands, she has clients of all ethnicities and understands why you might not want to do something or why you would want to do something more than something else, even if it's not the better money, or why you want to make certain decisions for personal reasons rather than a business decision, those sort of things. And she reads all scripts before she sends them to me to say, are you up for auditioning for this part or whatever? So there's always, I feel like everything's vetted before it comes to me. And I feel like she has had those conversations separately, but I don't have to be included in them. She will see something and go, actually, why do you want him for that part? What about these parts? And that's obviously something that's come with time. And as we've got to know each other, and like I said, that I had had a few before, I've had 5 agents.
Okay.
Yeah. I left drama school in 2010 with an agent who was a black woman, and it didn't work out. And I think that was because I picked the agency that was the biggest name rather than who was right for me.
Sure.
And I was still in drama school, so I was gassed. I was like, yeah, I'm meeting them. And people were like, oh, you got to sign with him just because of the name. And I listened to all of that and I bought into it and I was just like, yeah. And then it didn't turn out to be right for me.
I like to stick up for black women across the world and I don't want you to get cancelled by black women. Mm. Why was she wrong? Was it because, just because?
No, I just think it was the agency. I think they saw me in my showcase, they thought I was good, they signed me, and then I guess didn't really know what to do or just had like bigger clients and they had things going on that were bigger, and yeah, I sort of like disappeared into a pool of actors.
Yeah, I hear.
And you know, I felt at times nervous to contact her, and I don't think anyone should ever feel that. I've been through that, and then I've come out the other side and got an agent that I can message on WhatsApp at midnight and be like, "What's my name again?"
Yeah,
and like I've experienced that to know that you don't want the first one.
Yeah.
You don't want to be like, oh, I need to contact my agent, but maybe I should, I'll schedule send an email for Thursday morning at 8. It's like, no, you need to know these, you need answers to these things now. Mm. And I'm not saying everyone should be texting their agent at midnight.
No.
I'm just saying if you have that relationship, then you should be, or that you should be striving to be able to contact your agent when you feel like you need to.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So, on picking roles, right, in a recent interview, you said that you wanted to be the type of actor that was more of an everyman actor, rather than maybe being like the, I mean, you were, but being like the lead star person of a long-running show. It's more a case of like wanting to be in different things, a comedian, so to speak. Like, it's more a case of, I know that guy, or, oh, that's the guy from.
Yes.
For lack of a better worded question, why?
Because I guess I grew up watching TV and saw people becoming one person from one thing. Mm. I mean, I guess I feel like we all in London grew up watching EastEnders.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so if you recognise someone from EastEnders, they're that's character from thing. EastEnders.
Yeah.
And not necessarily that happens in like scripted comedy and things like that, but that's not what I ever thought I would do. Mm-hmm. I never thought I'd be like in TV comedies. I always, when I was in drama school, I thought I was going to be a theatre actor. I thought I was going to come out and do theatre and do like Shakespeare and stuff like that. And I always wanted to. And I thought that's the trajectory that my career would go into.
Mm. Yeah.
And it went a different way. But why am I saying that? Because, about picking roles. So I wanted to make sure that like there was range. Mm. And that's also why I never had my own YouTube channel. Because I came into the scene in two ways. I was doing the agent, I did drama school agent audition, that route, but I also did YouTube.
Yeah, you did.
So all the things that I was doing with like Don't Jealous Me and Hamza, Vajanic, A Squeezy, all of those things were like, that was a separate route, but I never wanted my own channel. I always wanted to pop up in other people's things as different characters. Mm. Because Tolu, if Tolu does an African accent, he is Don't Jealous Me. So, and the same with Hamza. When Hamza's in a thing, it's like, yeah, that's Hamza from Diary of a Badman. And I mean, and that's worked out perfectly for them. But I always wanted to have variety and be able to pop up in something and not be like, oh, that's the one from that. But then obviously projects like Ghost come about and I become Mike from Ghost. But then I have to start thinking about my next roles. And that's why I did things like, I was going to say Death in Paradise, but I did Death in Paradise because it's in Guadeloupe. Yeah. But but also,
I saw them pictures.
Yeah, I was loving it. But also like choosing parts that show me differently, but to the same audience.
Mm.
Like there's quite a big crossover in audience in terms of Ghosts and Death in Paradise. It's like people that sit down in front of BBC One in the evening. And I wanted them to see that I could do something different.
Mm.
Which is also why I started doing a few more kind of panel show type things, like when I did Would I Lie to You and doing The Last Leg and those sort of things where I appear as myself to show that like I'm not just this character, I mean, there's more than that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there is a method to it, I think, and as I have got busier, I've had to turn down roles, but also I tried to do it tactically.
Yeah.
But also, I just want to do. I want to do the things I want to do. I rarely take a job because I feel like that will get me to this place, or that will move me into apart from like just making sure that I'm shown to be versatile or shown to have range.
On that note, you are in a range of projects and you are quite versatile and you do well in the roles that you're in. Why do people like you? Why do they keep casting you? What's your special sauce, please?
Do you know what it is? I'm a bit of fun.
You are?
Yeah.
You are a bit of fun.
I'm a bit of fun. That's a good question. I don't know. I guess, like, I would say, if someone asked me what my unique selling point was, I would say it's versatility. And I do feel like I could do everything.
Do you want to do everything? Because, you know, like your fellow comedian, Kevin Hart, and I think on here we have Adam Sandler, they've kind of made that transition into drama.
Yeah.
I think Adam Sandler more successfully than Kevin Hart at this point.
Yeah.
Kevin's got room to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And also there's that thing we were discussing earlier about award season, how comedy, though it's extremely difficult to deliver, it's not respected in the same way. People feel like when they get to that point of maturity, they've got to do a drama and have that big monologue moment. Is that something that you have in the back of your mind? Or?
Yeah, I guess, but I always wanted to do drama. I wanted to do drama first.
Yeah.
The comedy stuff came out of... The reason I was doing those YouTube videos was because I needed a showreel.
Yeah.
Got you.
And rather than paying for a showreel, because I couldn't afford to get a showreel, I was going on these YouTube things and I would cut it up and put it into a thing and send it out to agents. And because, I mean, I left drama school 2010. 2012, I started working in a call center.
Mm.
And I was there for 4 years. And I was like going and doing these little YouTube sketches and auditioning, going on Casting Call Pro and trying to find out what's going on and going to these auditions. But at the same time, I had to do stuff myself.
Mm.
Which was being in all of these videos and then using that footage to make a showreel and sending it out and asking people if they need anyone in this and that. So, like, those were the reasons that I was doing that, because it was easy to do that. Mm. But I never did that thinking, like, yeah, I'm going to break into comedy. I was just trying to get an agent so that I could work and act, but not necessarily in comedy. But then my friends started making things, like when Kaede created Enterprise and people that I know that are getting their foot through the door and have seen me in those in these things.
Mm-hmm.
It's all comedy. I never did any drama, like short films or YouTube. People weren't doing like drama sketches. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So like, it was just easy to do that. And then I also got introduced to, Kayvan Novak in 2014. And that was my first step into like comedy on television rather than comedy on.
For those who don't know.
Phone Jacker.
Kayvan Novak created Phone Jacker and Face Jacker.
Thank you.
And he won a BAFTA for Phone or Face Jacker. And creates like loads of his own stuff. And that franchise is still going. He's got the Phone Jacker podcast and things like that.
Okay.
And he's now in What We Do in the Shadows. He's one of the leads in that.
Yeah.
But he was my first intro into comedy on TV.
Mm.
And I met loads of people through him. And... Mm. Just popping into loads of different projects. So it's quite similar to what I was doing on YouTube, but now on a mainstream level.
Mm.
And in 2014, I did that advert with One Direction for their fragrance. And that's when it became, changed what I was doing.
Changed your direction.
Yeah, I like that. I guess that's because, I mean, that was huge. That was shown on E.
Yeah. Mm.
And it was... it was like it was on YouTube, but really early. And this was when One Direction were in there, like at their peak. This was 2014.
Mm.
So like everyone saw that, and people that didn't even know I was acting, like, what are you doing in that video with One Direction? You know, like the Mandem saw it.
Of course,
yeah, of course.
It was like coming up as the advert before your YouTube video or something like that. So like from that, I guess people that recognized me from YouTube sketches were like, oh, he's on a next level now. And I felt like I was, because I was like, my face was everywhere.
Yeah.
Did you start showing off?
I bought a laptop and I went to New York
Jesus,
big baller.
is that showing off? No, he. So, I mean, Kayvan got booked for that job himself, and then decided that his character needed a assistant, and then just called me and asked me if I'd do it, and paid me money out of what he got paid.
Oh, cute.
That's nice, man.
So, I mean, he must have got paid a lot of money compared to what he gave me.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But
he still gave you a little pound.
Yeah, but yeah, so there was a little change in direction from that. And then, yeah, and then TV bits. And then the real game changer was Stath. And when I was in Stathlet's Flats and became a regular, that was my first regular part on TV. Yeah. And that's when I was like on TV weekly.
Yeah.
And even just learning what that's like, because I'd always been a guest or I'd been in one or two episodes and things like that. So even learning like what a regular role is was like a whole new thing. And I feel like that was another step up. And then that's what, I guess, got me in the room for Ghost.
You kind of mentioned, obviously, that's how you got Ghost, but there was a bit of overlap, right? Because Ghost started whilst you were still on Stathlet's Flats.
Yes, that's right. So series 2 of Stath, I auditioned for Ghost. And then
For the people who don't know?
Yeah.
Stathlet's Flats.
Stathlet's Flats is a Channel 4 comedy written by Jamie Dimitriou about a Greek lettings agent. We won 3 BAFTAs last year.
Are you that?
For actually, the show won 2, and Jamie won 1 for his performance.
Mm-hmm.
That was just like, it was also for me an insight, as well as like learning how to like about being on set regularly. I also learned about the process of writing and development, which is hell. Because his Blap came out in 2013 for the same show.
Crazy.
And the series started in 2018.
That's crazy.
So guys, comedy blaps are like little pilots potential projects.
Yeah.
For Channel 4.
Yeah, like a 10-minute thing.
Yeah.
Concept. And yeah, that came out in 2013 and he was working on that for 10 years in total.
That's just crazy. As a word then, because as we, you know, the creatives listening, sometimes it's like, because I'm black, because I'm a woman, because I'm this.
Mm.
Sometimes it just takes fucking long, right?
Yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. Mm. And also, I mean, the show is completely different to anything else out there.
Mm.
Mm.
In terms of, like, the show really is just about a boy trying to impress his dad,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which I guess is what Succession is about. But
yes.
But it's, the way that it's written, the language in the show is so different to anything else, because it's just like from his mind, and it's just a bunch of people saying things that they've heard other people say. Really. So for a channel, I can understand that being daunting and being quite a big thing and being like, okay, are we ready to take this on? Yeah. What if nobody gets it?
Mm.
And I feel like, I do honestly feel like with the first series, people weren't getting it.
Mm.
People were like, what is this? And I've spoken to actors who had been sent sides to audition and been like, I don't think this is very good. Because they don't get it's quite hard to understand if you have, like, I had that introduction from it because I saw The Blap when it came out and I loved it. But I only saw The Blap because I had, after I had done that pilot with Kayvan, I did a show called Parents Union 8 years ago, straight just after the One Direction advert. And I had been in my house and been in the call center and not worked at all. And I thought, I'm going to Google what every person is doing that was in the pilot that I did. And I found Natasha Dimitriou, who's Jamie's sister, and saw all of her stuff on YouTube. And she was doing sketches and sketches. She did this Love Island thing. Which was so funny, and like was seeing what everyone was doing, and then I came across his Blap, and that's the way that I found it.
What was the motivation for seeing what everyone, because you were like, oh, shit, fuck this for a laugh.
Yeah, I was also like, I'm sure everyone can't be in the same position as me.
Yeah.
And I was like, right, this is one of the only things that I've done on TV, but what are they all doing?
Yeah.
So if they were, so you found the Blap, which is great, because then you were like, aha, light bulb. But what would have been the difference with either they were all doing shit, you'd be like, okay, validation, or if they were all doing stuff, what would you have done? Were you going to go and make something? Were you going to go and like...
I guess I was looking for inspiration or motivation, something that was just going to like get me to do something, or I don't know. I just like...
Yeah.
I just really felt like I was in a situation that I didn't want to be in, where I was like going to this, like working in this call center and also being offered like the opportunity for financial stability, being asked if I want to become a supervisor and things like that. And like I could have taken that because I wasn't getting regular work and I wasn't acting. So I was like, do I?
Yeah.
But it wasn't what I wanted to do at heart. So I'm looking up like what's everyone else doing? They can't be in the same position as me. And I saw that as part of, and I was like, man, I need to be part of this group somehow, or I need go. And I saw that they were doing like live shows. They were doing the Moth Club in Hackney, and they were going and doing character comedy and things like that. So then I started getting ideas for character comedy. And I mean, it took me years, but I did a show called The Crooners in Edinburgh 2018. And that was like me finally like performing something that I had an idea of. It's two sort of like Rat Pack type characters that are like two drunks that are just like
crooning,
yeah, chatting shit and singing songs. But yeah, just like I was looking for motivation, I was looking for ideas and just what to do. And so I had seen the Blap and I understood what Stath was and I understood what he was doing. And he was like, it's a look on London, basically. It's like London is such a melting pot of so many different accents and cultures and ways of life. And yeah, that's all thrown into the show. So when I was taking part in that every day, I was really learning.
There's currently, I feel like there's an internal industry debate now about where comedy sits, the state of comedy basically. Mm-hmm. And I think like a lot of writers now are writing comedy drama.
Yeah.
But the industry, or you'd say broadcasters are, I don't want to say fighting back, but they're just like, they want to traditionalize comedy again. We want straight comedy. Where do you sit in all of this? And do you think there's too much comedy drama?
Yes.
Okay.
I really do. And I was talking about this just yesterday. Have you seen Bottoms, the film?
Yeah. Oh, no, the film. Yes. No.
I have.
Oh, no, I have. Sorry, I was thinking of Bottom the comedy.
Oh, right.
I thought the ultimate one.
Yeah, sorry.
Tell me more about.
Do you want me to?
Yeah, I do.
Live on air?
Yeah.
Well, not live. I didn't like it so much.
Why not?
I didn't think it was that funny.
Really?
Did you think it was hilarious?
I loved it.
I mean, there were moments, but I
think we're not used to.
Let me relax. Sorry. Mixed it up. Because it's got Io in it.
Yeah.
She's also in Theatre Camp.
Yes. And you're thinking of Theatre Camp.
Theatre Camp is a big zero for me. Bottoms right. was funny.
Okay. Yeah. I wasn't crazy about Theatre Camp. I watched it on the plane. I wasn't crazy about that.
But
Bottoms, I was like, it's so funny and it's just funny. There's like, obviously, because it's like the setup of a buddy movie, there is going to be like a little bust up. But that's the only point where there's any sort of like empathy or sympathy needed or anything like that. I was just watching it and I was like, things that are just funny, I miss that. And I feel like there are a lot of like really good comedy dramas out there. Big Boys, for example.
Yeah.
Like people are making good shows, but they're not like comedies. And I miss that. And I want to see more of that. And I'm like, that's what I'm trying to make myself. I really want to be in dramas. I want to act in dramas, but I want to make comedy.
Got you.
And I feel like also, it's not necessarily because of the writer or the person who, the creator, whoever's idea it is. I think it's because producers are going, where's the heart in the story? Constantly. And I guess, I don't know if we're getting heart mixed up with like emotion or like where's the sad bit or what's like.
Yeah. We don't need that.
Yeah, and I even feel like, even with Enterprise, I feel like, because I was in the writer's room for that, and I feel like that was a question getting asked a lot, what's the heart in this story?
Interesting, yeah.
I think, like, sometimes it can just be funny. And I think things that we used to watch were just funny. I think, like, Desmond's didn't necessarily have heart to it. It was a guy who ran a shop and wanted to do well for his family. It wasn't like...
But I think the heart is the... if we were to use that as an example, the art is the theme of family.
Yeah.
So and you're right in that regard, because I was thinking straight away of like Modern Family.
Yeah.
As a comedy. That's just funny. Straight funny.
Yes.
But there's always a message or a heart at the end of the episode.
Yeah. And Scrubs was like Scrubs, that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You'd always have that little last monologue and kind of got what it meant in terms of heart, but it was still straight funny. So I get what you're saying. Yeah.
I think it's that whole, I think it leans back to that whole gravitas thing. Like, it's got a bit of a drama and we're not taking ourselves so seriously, or we are taking ourselves seriously because we can't just laugh. And I think the state of the world is leaning towards, everyone's leaning into life is funny because it's so dull and dark. So then it's being reflected in the art. So it's like this kind of hybrid of, let's put some funny in the freaking darkness, but also we like the dark because we're in this dark space. And I think that's you know, sometimes life affects art, right?
Yeah.
So there's some of that in that. But what I was going to say, what makes something funny? What is the funny? What is it that you, what are the bits that make something funny to you?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think, because people say comedy comes from the truth, which is like, usually correct. But I also think that sometimes it's just like an amusing scenario, and sometimes that's really funny. Yeah, I was trying to think of an example without. I can't think of any examples.
Worst no you've ever heard.
Worst no.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in the moment, this was the worst no because I wanted it so bad. I auditioned for Landscapers. Did you ever see Landscapers?
Oh, that was my favourite film of that year. Really? Series of that year. I loved it so much. I'm not gonna lie to
you. So I auditioned for the part of her lawyer.
Okay, yeah.
And it went on for so long. Because I auditioned February 2020.
Oh, wow.
So,
jeez.
And I got,
So this before like the...
Yeah. This was pre-pandemic. And then there was loads of chats about me being in the running. And then I did another audition on Zoom. And then there were talks about dates. And it was,
close.
And then it didn't happen.
Did you cry? And,
no.
Okay.
But I was really upset about it because it had been drawn out for so long.
Yeah, I think it's that.
I really felt like it's going to happen. And it didn't.
Do you reflect back and think, oh, well, I get it? Or are you still like, fuck them?
No, but only because I don't know what it would have actually done for me.
Okay.
Apart from being a part that I really wanted to play. Which is enough for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But also there's things that I did in that time that I wouldn't have got to do had I been on that set. Mm. So it was the worst note at the time, but in hindsight, it's fine.
What's been the most rewarding yes?
The most rewarding yes? Seth.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't be where I am without that show.
What's a film or TV show that you wish you were in or had written?
Oof. Wish I was in or written. What's Bridgerton.
Yours? Really?
I'd love to be in Bridgerton.
Really?
Yeah. Get me in one of them shirts with the ruffles.
I can see you with one.
Oh, too. I'd love to.
I can see you.
Or The Great. Have you seen The Great? Love it. The Great is about...
The Great or The Grey?
Great.
Oh.
It's about Catherine the...
Oh, Catherine
the Great. Oh, the new comedy with...
Nicholas Holt.
That.
And...
the girl.
Elle Fanning, yeah.
That's the one.
Yeah. I'd love to do
it. Is it good?
Yeah.
I would say, obviously, you want to be in it, but...
yeah.
Because I saw that in a Golden Globe nominees, because I... Nominations. And
right. They always get nominated, but they haven't won in a while.
I went to Poker Face... Did right. that brilliant, and then I was thinking, I'll go back to great one day. But now you've said it, I'll look it up.
Yeah, it's really good.
What are you watching at the moment?
I am watching Succession because I haven't finished that.
Okay, where are you?
There's no way of saying it without the spoiler.
I didn't mean that. I mean what season? Sorry, I should have been.
Oh, I see. The last series.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
well done.
What else am I watching? How to with John Wilson.
What's that all about then?
It's. Have you seen Nathan For You?
No, I don't watch things. I do watch things, but what's all these things that you're saying?
So Nathan For You is Nathan Fielder, who creates these, I guess it's sort of like experiments, and he does like really...
Oh!
He does like...
Is he the guy that made The Curse? Is it The Curse? The one with...
No, The Rehearsal.
Oh, right. And The Curse as well, the one what's with the Emma Stone. It's like a newer one.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's just...
Oh, okay.
It's really good, but sorry, go ahead, continue.
Look forward to that.
I know not these things.
It's not like a prank, but there's real people in it.
Okay.
But he also produced How To with John Wilson. So How To, for example, like the last episode I watched was How To Make a Risotto.
Oh.
And he films loads of footage, like footage of people on the street, footage of just like anything.
Mm.
And as he's narrating, he puts in all the things that he's talking about. So he might say, for example, like, yeah, you're walking down the street and you've got a lot on your mind, and then you see a clip of someone that's like holding loads of things on their head, for example, and he'll just use his clips. But then there is a narrative of like, so basically that How To Make a Risotto one is he's trying to make risotto for his landlady.
Oh.
And it turns out that, yeah, it's February 2020, and he's trying to learn how to make risotto just cause. And then all these reports from the government start saying that you shouldn't speak to people, you shouldn't. And then he's like, oh, how am I going to continue to make risotto for my landlady if I can't give her food?
Oh, yeah.
And then he contacts a doctor to find out if COVID can be transmitted through food. And then they start this system of like, he leaves it on the stairs and she comes up and gets it. But then she's getting old, so she can't really keep coming up the stairs. It's like, and all of them have like a message, but they're very funny.
Okay.
Yeah, but you can watch, it's like, I guess it is an anthology series, but you can just watch any episode, you don't have to watch it in order.
Jump in anywhere.
Yeah.
All right, Kyle, there is a image of you, there's a photo of you on social media out there.
Daily Mail website.
Sorry?
No.
Could be Daily Mail, could be. It could.
No.
It wouldn't be Daily Mail, actually. No. And you're looking out into the distance, you're very pensive.
Mm. What am I looking at?
Don't know. We don't know. You're just looking into the distance.
The
image is black and white.
Black and white?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you make it black and white? Or was it black
and
white?
It's just black and white.
It's just black and white. Right. That's how we found
it. Go into your mind.
There's a quote.
A quote on the picture?
There's a quote on the picture. And it's almost like old school, like when on Tumblr.
Sepia tone.
Right. Sepia Tumblr, like Confucius.
So far, it sounds like you made this, but yeah.
I mean.
Go with it.
What is that quote? What's the quote? What's the quote that defines you? What's the quote you live by?
A quote that I live by.
And this will also be the name of the episode. So, no, I ain't saying you gotta make it good.
But I am.
It's just gotta be a quote.
Cause you were late.
But it could be anything. It could be, I like crisps. What is?
What do you go by?
Gotta have a laugh, ain't ya?
That's great. There's some good titles this season.
You
have
a laugh, ain't you?
You have a laugh.
Yeah. You do. I agree. With 1 minute to go and a part two coming.
Yes.
I'm excited for the part two.
Part two's going to be
great. I'm going to come with gifts.
If you didn't, you'd be beaten up.
Big trouble, man.
Basically.
Name this.
Movie, show, TV, film, quiz, show, thing.
Right. While my partner in crime nurses a cold, I'm taking over. Yeah? Kyle, are you ready for this?
Hello.
Yes. This is Nameless TV, quiz, show, film, show, game.
Oh, okay. And who named it that?
Aquia.
Okay. Cool.
Copyright TM, apparently.
Right.
So, apparently it's the bestest game in the world, according to her.
Yeah.
I have other thoughts. However,
understood.
It's a fairly simple premise. I won't say a simple game. It's a simple premise.
Right.
I'm going to give you some clues.
Yeah.
And you've got to guess the film or TV show that these particular clues pertain to.
Okay.
So, it usually comes in this form. Give you four clues.
Four clues. I need four clues for this.
Well, you might need one. Okay. You might need one. First clue would be odd words from the title. Second clue would be how many words are in the title. The third clue would be one word to describe the TV show or film.
Yeah.
And the fourth clue will be a description of one of the characters.
Okay. Now, I'm hoping I don't need four clues.
Boy. You ain't seen these ones yet.
Okay.
Now, Okuya has an extra rule.
Mm-hmm.
If she deems the title too easy, usually if it's one word, or if it's just too easy,
mm-hmm.
she won't give you an odd word from the title. She'll give you a syllable. So, let's say...
Syllable. Okay.
Cool. Let's say the project was Moonlight.
Yes.
She would give you Moon.
Right. Oh, yeah, but that is...
Yeah. I mean, yeah. But she,
do you know what?
She does make it harder, I will say that.
Has... Who... How many people have played this before?
29.
Okay. So I'm about to be 30th.
You're about to be the 30th person who plays this game.
Right. I'm going to win this game. Okay. I don't know how you win this game.
You've got to get...
I don't know how you beat 29 people at once, but I'm going to do it.
That means you would have to get like 18 points out of a possible 20.
Light work.
Okay. Okay, said it first. Now, usually, you have a call a friend, which is me.
Right.
As I'm also the games master.
Oh, it's tough.
It's tough.
Yeah.
It's like, do I give you the points or not? I don't know. I'm conflicted. All right. So the running theme for these five projects.
Yeah.
Are that they are all comedy, like all British comedies.
Oh, wow.
Black leads.
Right. Okay, cool.
Yeah. All right. So, project number one. This is a syllable. The syllable in this title is ter. Ter.
Enterprise.
Wow. Yeah.
I don't play.
Wow.
I don't play when it comes to the game.
Wow.
As soon
okay.
as you tell me it's a competition.
Wow. Okay. All right. This guy's good. Quay will not be happy. This is good. All right. Oh, yeah. Tell us a fun fact about Enterprise.
Fun fact that we, in series one, my character had a fox and they wanted me to be familiar with the fox. So I went to a place called Amazing Animals in Chipping Norton, where they have animals that are used in film and TV.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I went there and I saw all of the animals and there's like, a guy that just walks around is like, yeah, so these are actually the wolves that we use in Game of Thrones. And this bear was in a Johnny Walker advert. Yeah. This hippo. It's that
so literally they just got a home dedicated to animals that do TV.
Yeah. That's like, acting animals.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Project number two. The clue. It's another syllable.
Okay.
It's another syllable. Wing.
Wing.
So the syllable in the title, wing.
And
it's a comedy. It's a comedy with a black
lead. With a black lead. Oh, wasn't there that thing, Wings and Chips? Or something like that. What was that thing that Barbillier was in?
Oh, that was Wings and Chips.
What's it called?
Aki and Saltfish.
Oh, okay. No, definitely. Okay. Definitely not Wing. Wing. Ugh.
You want the next clue?
Yeah.
All right. There are two words in the title.
No, I need another one.
This is a word to describe this project. I don't know how this is going to help, but deluded. Aquil always does these stupid clues. Deluded. So it's a two-word project. British comedy. Wing is one of the syllables.
Chewing gum.
Yes.
Took me too long.
Good. Okay. This is good. Fun fact. Not only did Michaela Cole create the series, write, compose the music, and star in all episodes, but she also produces the entire second season.
Wow. She composed the music.
Yeah. I know she sang the...
I didn't know that at all. That's amazing.
Third project. I want to put a caveat on this, right? Because I've not seen it, but I can't be 100% sure if this is led specifically by a black lead, but it's an ensemble piece.
Yeah.
All right. This is going to be a tough one.
Okay.
The word in the title is the.
That's outrageous. The word in the title is the. That's not a clue at all.
I know. Do you need a second clue?
I mean, I could guess.
Of course you can. Guessing is fine. It's all part of the game.
I'd guess the Crouches.
No.
That's what I've got.
All right, cool. Next clue then. There are four words in the title.
Meet the Alabanja? No. Let's meet the Alabanja. Four words in the title, and one of the words is the.
Yes.
No.
All right. Next clue. A word to describe the project. Crime.
And this is a comedy?
This is a comedy, yeah.
Okay, let me think about this properly. The Thin Blue Line. How can that be wrong?
Well, I don't think the film you line had any, even a black person in that cast.
Did Rudolph Walker.
I'm mistaken. That is very true.
Mm.
That is very, very true. This one is fairly more modern.
Okay. Right. Line, yeah. Come on. Come on. What's in my head? I've got to get Black Ops out of my head. What's the last clue?
A woman has a job no one believes she should have.
A woman has a job that no one believes she should have in a British comedy about crime. It's four words. And it's a comedy.
It's a comedy. A clue I can give you is Chinese New Year.
I've got no idea.
All right, you want the answer?
Well, can we go to the other one first and come back?
I mean, if we can.
Yes.
It'll be the first time that's ever happened.
Yes, all right, let's do that.
Let's do that.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Ah, Queer, if you can hear me right now, you're ridiculous. This is the syllable again, and the syllable in this title is ah.
I knew it was going to be that.
So I knew it. Ah.
Right, and I have, I mean, I'll guess. As in A?
Yeah.
Not ER?
No, as in A. I'm just trying to sound it out.
No.
All right, there is one word in the title.
And it's British.
It is very British.
Very British.
Yes. It is British, and it has a lot of good friends of yours, I would say, in it.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I've got that one. Famalam.
Ah, that's correct. Yes.
Right, so let's go back now.
Let's go back.
Because I'm 3 for 3.
You are three for three. So we're going to go back to the one before.
Yeah.
And you have the in the title.
Yeah.
Four words.
Yeah.
Crime. A woman has a job no one believes she should have. A clue I can actually give you is that the person in this show was also in Chewing Gum.
Year of the Rabbit.
That is correct.
Okay, that was stressful. That stressed me out.
You got one more. This is a syllable. The syllable in this title is shop.
And we are talking about a British comedy. Okay. Well, then my answer is phone shop.
Your answer is correct. Well done. This is good.
Woo!
This is good.
Oh, the stress.
You actually done very well. You got 13 points.
Oh, man. Where am I on the leaderboard?
Joint 6.
Oh, come on. Who's at the top?
So, Franklin Leonard. Oh, you're joint 4th, rather.
4.
No, you're joint 5th.
Oh, God. Sorry.
Franklin Leonard.
Right.
And then you got Damson Idris. Well, Damson Idris will always have an asterisk next to his name because he was cheating.
Right. How do you cheat?
Google. So, no. So basically, there was a period when we were in a pandemic, we had to do some of our interviews on IG Live.
Right.
And so he was literally just looking at the people in the comments on IG Live.
Oh, so that definitely doesn't count.
Yeah. So you got him. Then you have Emil Amin in third place. He on 15 points. Then Papa Asedu and Lutifak Benle both got 14 points. So you are currently level with Jimmy Akinbola on 13 points.
Right, but we should be joined.
So technically speaking, you should be joined. Yeah.
Rather than joint 5th, because that's a cheat.
That's a cheat.
Okay.
Yes.
Right, okay.
You'll take that.
I'll accept that, but I'm not happy about it.
Fair. Fair dues. Please apologize. But, oh yeah, I feel like I've missed out so many fun facts that people are going to kill me. So let me do these fun facts for this project.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so fun facts for Year of the Rabbit. I'm going to cane his name, and that's probably because of the quiz writing. Taika Waititi?
Taika Waititi.
That's what I said. Taika Waititi made a guest appearance in the show that only lasted one season.
Oh.
Or did she mean the show only lasted one season?
Yeah, it did.
I mean, now
it got cancelled.
That was fun fact. That was one season. He made a guest appearance.
It looked great. I only saw one episode.
Yeah.
It looked very good.
Fun fact about Famalam. It is a BAFTA award-winning series and was the first all-black sketch show the UK had seen since Little Miss Jocelyn in 2006.
That fact is not fun.
It's not fun. This is not a fun fact to query. Javon Prince from Felsham also starred in The Bill. I think Aquia is like, ran out of fun facts. It's true, because The Bill's finished, hasn't it?
The Bill finished before I even left drama school.
Really?
Yeah. I was desperate to be in The Bill. And I thought, I could leave drama school and I'll be in The Bill and then I'll go to something else. I'll do something else. And before I left drama school, The Bill finished.
You know what's weird, right? Even though I'm not an actor, I wanted to be in The Bill too. Mm. But it wasn't just because I enjoyed the show. For some reason, I always equate like wanting to be in a show based on theme song. So like The Bill and Heartbeat.
Let me tell you something about I hated that show. And I'll tell you why.
Go on.
Because when you're in school, you can't wait for the weekend. Much like a lot of people who are in 9-to-5 jobs that they don't enjoy.
Yeah.
You can't wait for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
The theme song to the weekend finishing was Heartbeat.
Oh, because it was on a Sunday.
Because it was on a Sunday at like 8:30. And that means start polishing your shoes, ironing your shirt, ready for bed, school tomorrow. So anytime I hear that Heartbeat theme, that's all I think about. Triggered.
All right, now is the last part
of
the podcast. It's called The Process. So what we've been doing since the beginning of time, at least since the beginning of this podcast, is we start a story of our first guest of the season, and then story continues with the next guest, and then the next guest, and so on and so forth. This is a new project. It's a feature film that started with the writer of Domino Day, Lawrence Akira. So I'm going to tell you the story up until now, and you've got to continue it.
Stop
at any point that you want.
Right.
All right. So we begin in what I'm presuming is central London, and you have a podcast studio. Two podcasters are speaking to a guest. It's live, it's going really well. There's a long line outside of people watching or wanting to get inside, including some haters as well. There's people who particularly hate the podcast for some reason. We don't know why. Anyway, whilst the podcast is going on in the soundproof studio, we pan out in the distance. Apparently, there's a zombie apocalypse happening. Zombies are running. Now the people in the line can see what's going on. And now they're running and trying to push inside to the studio to get to safety. Six people managed to push inside the studio before it's closed. Of those six people, two of them are haters of the podcast. And of those six people, one of them has been bitten. So now we are in this particular studio. There's a lot of hoopla, commotion between everybody. What's going on? We need to get out of here. But we can't get out of here because there are zombies everywhere. But they know that by the time they wait, the zombies are going to come in anyway. So they're like, how do we get out of here? Idris Elba pulls up in a minibus with elderly people. He says, get in. So these guys climb through the top window and they jump on top of the minibus and they get in. So it's six of them, the elderly people, and Idris Elba. Idris Elba's driving fast, he's knocking over zombies until it gets to a point where it's too crowded, he can't drive any further. There is a building next to them where it feels like, in terms of time, only two people can make it. One of the podcasters manages to get to the top of the bus first in order to move, but they can only take one person with them. Part of the conundrum is that they're a massive fan of Idris Elba. So do they take Idris Elba, or do they take an elderly person, or do they take their friend? This is where Nina Malone, our agent, our last person, comes in. She says one of the elderly people just says everybody needs to calm down, and they create some type of tea that calms everything down. We can figure it out, that we can all make a way out of it. And that is, if I'm not mistaken, where she's left it. The tea lasts 10 minutes specifically. 10 minutes exactly.
What's the tea do?
It just calms everything down for some reason. I don't know if it's a special tea or magic tea, but it just calms everybody down.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a special forces team apparently on the route to take them to the promised land, an underground bunker. So the special forces team has 10 minutes to get there. They may not get there. We don't know yet. The next bit is what?
Okay. So we're back in the bus. Mm-hmm. And this person is trying to make the decision. Someone suggests that they drive the bus into the building. It's difficult because the place is swarming with zombies. So they think that they have to create a distraction so that the swarm of zombies follows one person and they allow the bus to drive into the building, which means it saves the majority, but one person has to die. So they're trying to decide who it should be, whether it should be the elderly people because they're on the way out,
mm-hmm.
or whether there wants to be a hero, and it just, of course, looks to be the hero of the group, but also maybe he's got the most survival skill. And then we've got the podcasters. And we've got the haters of the podcasters,
mm-hmm.
who I think were hating for clout. They're hating mm-hmm. because they don't have a name for themselves.
Yeah.
And they want to create a name for themselves by being that podcast's biggest hater.
Yeah.
So there's a possibility that they could gain clout.
Mm-hmm.
By saving everyone.
True.
The name will be spoken about for years. There'll be a legend. But they've all got to decide who the one person is that's going to make that sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are being selfish. One of the elderly people speaks up and says that they'll do it. But then there's a disagreement.
Okay.
Because some of the other elderly people are like, you shouldn't have to. Also, it's these young people that have ruined society anyway.
Mm-hmm.
We did our best. We tried our hardest. We recycled.
Mm-hmm.
and so that's where I want to leave it. And the argument right. between who is going to make the run for it to distract all the zombies whilst they drive.
This is good.
Into the building. Also,
mm-hmm.
What the other hater of the podcast is stating their case because they think they're the best driver.
This is good. This is a lot of... It's the characterization portion of the project. There's a lot of conflict.
Mm.
A lot of topics and themes being spoken about in regards to like who is the group, who is the demographic that's more important than the other. It's very, very good. The film's become multi-layered. It's not just story. It's theme. It's character.
It's about society.
Yes.
It's about it's about class. It's about race.
Yes.
It's about creed.
We love it.
It's old versus young. It's rich versus poor.
Mm. This has been our most layered story yet, I think.
Great.
Yeah,
I'm glad to be a part of it.
Kayo, thank you so much, man.
Thank you.
We appreciate you. What do you want to tell the people? What should we be looking out for?
I don't know. I've got a few things coming up. I did a bit on Peacock, which is the show written by the boys that did People Just Do Nothing.
Yep.
So I'm in the second series of that. I'm in The Horn Section, which is a Channel 4 comedy written by Alex Horn and mm-hmm. His actual real-life band, The Horn Section. It's about them.
Nice.
And I play a footballer in that. And that's why cool. I dyed my hair blonde last summer.
Yeah, I did see that. Okay. Makes sense.
And... still doing my own stuff. I still want to do short films, little quick things. So I'm still up for that. People want to get your boy.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was really good. Okay. I didn't know that. All right. It's good to know. Kyle, thank you so much, man.
Thanks for having me.